Let's turn in the Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we will read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. Second Corinthians 1. And beginning in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, these are God's words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And those are God's words. So here we come to the second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, with the introduction and the first two verses of who's writing and the greeting that is normal in Paul's letter. And then through verse 6, the beginning of the body of the letter, Paul speaks of his own troubles and yet exalts with thankfulness to the Lord for his goodness to him. God's people here, we are encouraged in the midst of troubles to examine and consider in the midst of them the goodness of God in those moments. And those who have gone through trials, through afflictions, through sufferings, who have been comforted by the Lord, the blessing from the Lord to then be able to serve others and comfort them in their afflictions. And that's our duty. If we have been afflicted and been comforted by God, it is our duty to comfort others in their afflictions, pointing them again and again to the goodness of God. And then through verse 11, calling the church in Corinth and us that in the midst of similar sufferings, we ought to also look to the Lord, remembering His promises. In the midst of sufferings, He's the God who raises up His people from the dead. And then the rest of the chapter, Paul's defending his ministry to those with those serving with him, that he has continued in integrity. He hasn't changed in his love and service to them, nor made light of the church there. He has made a constant care and interest in them. And that he was often attacked for by the Corinthian church, or the church in Corinth. And so he's still defending himself as he was in the first letter he wrote to them. And then now we look here as a whole. Friends, we ought to, in our afflictions, in all of our afflictions, look to the goodness of the Lord. Look for it, where He is showing His goodness to you. And that will be our consolation and our comfort. And so that's a command from the Lord here. In our afflictions, look for the Lord's goodness. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful that You give us the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for how You call sinners out of darkness and bring them into a marvelous light by Your grace. And as You send forth Your Spirit into the hearts of men and women and children, You turn their hearts to You. And Father, You have done that for some in this congregation. And we praise You for that. We're thankful that You're the God who saves Your people, who declares them righteous in Your sight, who sanctifies us, and all in Your great preparation to glorify us with Christ Your Son and in Him. And yet, Father, we confess that we have broken Your commandments. We have sinned against You. We're thankful that Christ has gone before us, and as we heard this morning, has been tempted in every way we are, and yet without sin. Yet He was crushed for our iniquities. And Father, as we have suffered under our own sins, we have often been crushed by our sins and the consequences of them, and yet not to the uttermost. Only so much as You are good to us in disciplining us, in which we're thankful. And Father, we ask that You would show us, even in our afflictions, where we suffer our trials. And Father, we ask and plead that You would show us Your goodness. And in the midst of those trials, You would reveal how good You are and the ways You are good to us. And Father, even knowing that we have one who lives to make intercession for us, who's in the midst of the trials pleading for us, and You're receiving His pleas, the pleas of Jesus, Your Son. We're thankful that You answer Him, even when we are too weak, too frail, and too sinful to pray. Your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is praying for us. And we give You praise for this and thanks. And Father, further, we do ask that You would turn our hearts from our sins. Turn our hearts from our wickedness to You. And make us to see the glorious goodness of You, God, and even in the face of your Son Jesus Christ and His goodness, your goodness to us, and offered freely to all of us. Father, we pray that we would hear and obey your command to come unto you, thinking also and thanking you also for the promise that is attached to your commands, that we will be blessed. And so make us to be those who pursue blessing. Father, we do ask for our children, that you and the grandchildren, that you would turn their hearts to you, that they would love you. We pray also for these kids outside making noise now. We're thankful for the life you've given to them. But Father, we pray for their souls. I pray that you would grant them the grace to come in the doors and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask that you would turn their hearts to you, their parents too. And Father, we pray that you would bless our evangelism. We look forward to many opportunities as a congregation that we'll have to evangelize this year. And a reminder of that as the months are warmer. And yet, Father, we know that we are to evangelize and testify and make disciples of all peoples at all times. And so make us to be diligent and speaking to our neighbors, calling them and inviting them to come and see Jesus, to come and worship with us, and to believe the gospel unto salvation. We pray that you would move us out of our comfort zones, and that you would grant us the words to speak and to be bold and zealous for the good news. For that's why we're here, to worship you and to make disciples of all nations, that many would be brought into the kingdom of God and made citizens of Christ's kingdom. And we pray that you would bring many. Father, we pray for our presbytery. Thankful for the presbytery meeting we had this last week. Thankful that everyone made it home safely, and even though there was some weather, Father, thankful that you held us up and that we came to the conclusions and actions that we took. Father, we pray that all of them would have been according to your word, and if not, that you would turn us back from them. We're thankful for the paper that our session sent up to Presbytery in November, and the committee that looked over that and brought back recommendations, recommended that it be taken to Synod. And we're thankful that our Presbytery took that action. Pray that you would grant it success, and that we would be more careful in how we speak about the care of the lives and the bodies of your creatures, and that Synod would take the action of changing the language of our testimony in that area for the good of proclaiming the truth and the necessary truth for doctors and mothers to know and for all of us to know. Father, we do also pray that you would provide ministers. That's one of the major things our presbytery talked about with the San Antonio congregation, which they have elders who have been elected and they're going to become a congregation, and yet they don't have a pastor. Father, we ask that you would provide a minister for them even now, and you would make that congregation not comfortable, but longing with great urgency for finding a qualified man to be a consistent shepherd there. Father, we also ask that your these other churches in Washington and Colorado Springs and Houston, you would provide ministers there as well. We pray for our nation that you would turn us from our wickedness and our sins, and you would cause our rulers to love you and turn to you in faith for their salvation, that they would covenant with Christ your Son, that they would love Christ, and that all the citizens would hear their need to go into the churches and worship you, the churches which are true, and proclaim the gospel faithfully. We pray that all other religions and false churches would be snuffed out, and the gospel would be truly and faithfully proclaimed, and all the citizens of this nation would hear and believe unto salvation, if that would be your will. We ask that you would pour forth your Holy Spirit in great and true biblical revival, and you would grant reformation to the churches, that we would turn back from our sins and our desires and our traditions and will worship, and that we would turn to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for your continued grace to be used upon us. You would show us your favor, though we don't deserve it. Humble us before your throne, even as we continue worshiping you now. And receive us for Christ's sake, for we pray in his name. Amen.